writing a book allows you to edify yourself as far as being the go-to source for what you do. Now, there's a lot of books flying around out there, a lot of authors flying around out there, but I like to refer to those. Some of those books are glorified pamphlets. They're not actual books. Big fonts, you know, not a lot of pages.
Pictures.
It's a book, you know. So I learned with my first book that when you write a book, it becomes your new business card. So people don't throw away books. They'll give them away. They'll donate them. They'll throw them up on a shelf, but they're never going to throw them away. So when I go meet with somebody or have a conversation with somebody, and I'm able to sign the book, take a picture with them and leave them with the copy. If they ever think about starting a podcast, they ever think about launching a social media strategy, and they look over to the bookshelf or they see my book on their shelf or they remember the conversation that we had, the fact that I wrote a book really does resonate with people, number one. Number two, there's something to be said with what it does for your credibility and being able to, I always like to joke and say, when you write a book, people automatically believe you and take you seriously to a certain extent. So the credibility factor, number one. Number two, I believe part of building a brand and being a person of influence within the digital space of podcasting, it's my responsibility to share with the world what I know. Otherwise, I'm just a taker.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin', and boy, do I have the rock star of all rock stars with me today. And yes, if you've listened to the show, and I thank you for that, you know I say that to all the guests. So sorry about that, Sebastian. Everybody, welcome Sebastian Rusk. What's up, Sebastian, live from the Miami, Florida area? What's up, man?
What's up, Mr. Silverman? Great to see you, buddy. Always a pleasure. And I absolutely was really special with that introduction, and you just ruined it.
Oh, well, that was the point, my friend. That's the point. And thanks for being here, man. I'm just living the dream. Listen, for those that don't know Sebastian Rusk, and I don't know how you don't know Sebastian Rusk in this day and age, let me just tell you a little bit about this guy. He is a player, the player of all players. See, I won't take that away. He is the founder of the Podcast Launch Lab. He is a corporate MC. He's a corporate host, a speaker, a voiceover talent, a social media strategist. He is also, of course, the host of the Beyond the Story podcast, which I was on a few months ago. So I appreciate that. And he's also a best-selling author of Podcasts Suck If You Don't Have One, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. Sebastian, I want to jump right into it, but my real question for you is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you're from Miami. Tell me, how'd you end up in Miami, brother?
So I was born in Indiana, grew up until the beginning of middle school in Central Florida, in the Orlando area. And then my sister went to the University of Miami, and we followed her down here to Miami, and I've been here ever since. So seventh grade on. So I claim Miami. I mean, I think seventh grade, I don't remember anything before seventh grade. So, you know, I grew up in Miami.
Miami. You don't remember anything from yesterday. Isn't that correct?
This morning.
This morning. Gotcha. What'd you have for breakfast?
I fasted.
Oh, very nice. I'm a big intermittent faster myself. Are you doing intermittent fasting?
If starving yourself until lunchtime is intermittent fasting, then yep, absolutely.
I don't know that qualifies. We'll have to ask our friend Ben at the keto camp if that qualifies. Something tells me that wouldn't qualify though. Let me ask you this. Speaking of food, I know you don't post much anymore on it. Which I think it's an incredible channel. You have thousands of subscribers at Foodie Buzz on YouTube. Why'd you start that? Why'd you stop it? And talk about food, man. I'm a big food fan, but I don't define myself as a foodie. And a lot of my listeners love food. I mean, who doesn't love food? Come on.
Who doesn't love bacon on a stick?
Heck yeah.
So for the past probably 11 years, since I can remember, every Friday night, I've watched Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I've seen every single episode. And while I'm not giant Guy Fieri fan, I am a fan of the show, and I think a lot of people are. And what I quickly realized as I was watching this was like, I could do this. I mean, I'm not Guy Fieri and I'm not on the Food Network, but I could do my own spin on this. And I'm in a big city like Miami, and there's a lot of great restaurants and cool food and stuff that's happening almost on a daily basis. So why not show up to these places, try the food, get my opinion, and create some content out of it. So I started Foodie Buzz in, oh gosh, I think it was probably 2014, 2015. We got about 35 episodes done over the course of 2.5 years and couldn't figure out a way to monetize it. Restaurants don't have budgets. They definitely don't have budgets now, but they didn't have budgets then. It's always, we have a PR firm that handles all of our marketing. They're responsible for doing everything, social media, everything. And then we fire them every couple months too. So there is no consistency out of restaurants. As far as sponsors are concerned, the ideal sponsor for that food show would be an Uber Eats or a DoorDash or, you know, delivery dudes or whatever it might be. But none of that really came to fruition, and it came down to becoming a lot of work. So we shot an episode last year. I got a client that opened a new restaurant here in Miami and a food truck, and we shot the food truck, and I thought about resuscitating the whole Foodie Buzz concept, but man, it's a lot of work that goes into this. We got to show up, and that was at 7 o'clock in the morning. We shot Dockside Grill. We show up, we film it, we eat the food, we get done, we tear down, and this is all, you know, first thing in the morning before the place opens. And then we've got a whole nother editing equation that we've got to resolve. So it just became a tremendous amount of work, number one. Number two, and then COVID hit last year. So not that we couldn't do it, but like now it's doing it with a mask and isn't really the same. So yeah, I enjoy food like most people do. And I enjoy telling stories. I just haven't really figured out what I want to do with the Foodie Buzz concept. In theory, it was going to be a show that would become monetized through sponsors, and that's what would support the show. But that hasn't happened as of yet, so it's still to be determined on what's happened. But yeah, we got about 35 episodes done. Had a lot of fun doing it. Got a lot of free food. But outside of that, it was, you know, trying to weigh out really the direct benefit outside of people just enjoying, you know, eating food. So.
So was the Foodie Buzz YouTube channel and the concept, was that before, during, or after you started working in the podcast biz?
So the Foodie Buzz content lives on the Social Buzz TV channel. That's the first company that I started 10 years ago, social media agency here in Miami to help marketers and local businesses with their social media efforts. So I started Social Buzz TV as a content outlet, as a agency to help businesses with their social media. And then what blossomed out of that was my personal brand. And my personal brand was being an author, speaker, coach on the topic of digital storytelling, specifically with podcasting. So in 2000, and I wrote my first book in 2013, Social Media Sucks, If You Don't Know What You're Doing. And that really opened up my speaking career. And then in 2016, I just realized that I just didn't want to be a social media guy. Like I could be called a lot of things, and I have been, but a social media guy just isn't something that I wanted to be considered, because it's, you know, everybody's a social media manager. And I grew up in a radio station. My dad was a DJ for 30 years. I had no intention of following in his footsteps whatsoever, but like a buddy told me a couple of weeks back, you know, our genes are very powerful. And sometimes we end up in a space we never thought we'd end up just based on, you know, our environment and surroundings. So in 2016, I decided to go focus all of my efforts on podcasting and podcasting only, with an emphasis still on social media, helping brands out with strategies and content, but only helping people start a podcast. So we launched the Podcast Launch Lab, pun intended, in 2016. It took a couple of years to figure out who my ideal client was. And at the end of 2019, I quickly realized it's somebody just like me. And it's somebody who's an entrepreneur or a marketer, I guess a subcategory that would be an author, speaker, coach, a person of authority that knows their natural next step is to start a podcast. So opened up a studio in the beginning of 2020 last year, then COVID hit and everybody was starting a podcast, and haven't looked back since. Went all in with podcasting. I'm an active podcaster myself. I believe that if you're going to sell a podcasting service, well, you need to be a podcaster. So, and I wrote my second book that came out last month, December 2020, called Podcasts Suck If You Don't Have One. And it's really all that I have in my brain as far as what it takes to start a podcast. I put all my blood, sweat, and tears into that. And yeah, man, we're rocking and rolling over here at the Podcast Launch Lab.
Wow. So there's a lot to unpack there. One thing I didn't know, and I certainly don't know you well. We met last year. And for those that don't know, Sebastian and the Podcast Launch Lab are the pre-production for the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast. That sexy ass voice you hear right there is the opener to my podcast. Isn't that right, my friend?
That's right. That's right. Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. Kick-ass opening, I might say. Your father being a DJ for 30 years, now it makes sense, man. Now I get it. Does he have that deep, awesome radio voice like you, or were you blessed with that and he had to improvise?
He does, but mine's way better.
Love it. Love it.
He actually hit me up last week and was like, hey, man, if you ever need any help with any voiceover work, I'm your guy. I'm like, thanks,
Bob. That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I don't think you need work with that, man. Your voice is perfect for radio.
That was my face.
I wasn't going to say it, but I knew you would, so I had to set it up.
But you were thinking it, yeah.
I was thinking it. You know, it's funny, we're joking around a little bit. I've never asked you this, but this serious question, because I think you're hilarious, dude. Did you ever think about being like a stand-up comic when you were growing up? Did anybody ever push you into that direction? Did it ever cross your mind?
It's crossed my mind a lot more in the past 5 years. In fact, I've been writing material for the past 5 years, but you know, trying to find the balls to actually get up and perform it is another mission in and of itself. I did it one time, told four jokes, told six jokes, got three laughs. So I was the last one up to it on open mic. So that's not always the best one. Everyone's shit-faced and they want to go home and they want you to make them laugh. So comedy is very easy when it's not expected. When it's expected and there's alcohol involved, then you've got a completely different dynamic. So what I've tried to do is just allow the stuff that I feel may be funny start to play out through some of my content, specifically with what's happening with my show and just daily conversations, and now starting to really get aggressive with TikTok and allow my personality to come out a little bit more. And I think from a comedic standpoint, but I'm a huge fan of comedy, huge fan of comics, huge fan of the world and just the ability to make people laugh. The biggest challenge is what we find funny isn't always what other people find funny. So it's flushing that stuff out. Even the best of the best. I mean, Rogan and Chris Rock and, you know, these guys still go to clubs when clubs are, you know, open and available and still try out new material, get their nose broken and figure out what works and what doesn't work. So I'm fascinated with it. Once we get back to whatever the new normal is and we're allowed to actually go places again, I'm definitely going to give it a go and start showing up at open mic nights. And, you know, worst case scenario, people don't laugh, right?
That's awesome, man. Is that a exclusive here on the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast? I feel like most people probably don't know your deep down goal for the future.
That's it. It's cats out of the bag.
I love it. I love it. For the millions.
One of those funny guys, huh?
For the millions of followers and listeners here, you just heard it first, friends.
My friends tell me that I should totally be a comic because people would laugh at me. They wouldn't laugh with me, but they would definitely laugh at me.
Oh, for sure. I laugh at you all the time.
Absolutely. I might need new friends.
Probably. Let me ask you a question. Why a book, right? You wrote a book in 2013 about social media. You wrote a book last year. It was released in December. We'll talk about the book, but why a book? Like, you know, people have dreams of writing a book, but I feel like I ask that question to people on and off the show, and a lot of times I get a different answer. What's your rationale for wanting to write a book of all things?
Writing a book allows you to edify yourself as far as being the go-to source for what you do. Now, there's a lot of books flying around out there, a lot of authors flying around out there, but I like to refer to those. Some of those books are glorified pamphlets. They're not actual books. Big fonts, you know, not a lot of pages.
Pictures.
It's a book, you know. So I learned with my first book that when you write a book, it becomes your new business card. So people don't throw away books. They'll give them away. They'll donate them. They'll throw them up on a shelf, but they're never going to throw them away. So when I go meet with somebody or have a conversation with somebody and I'm able to sign the book, take a picture with them and leave them with the copy, if they ever think about starting a podcast, they ever think about launching a social media strategy and they look over to the bookshelf or they see my book on their shelf or they remember the conversation that we had, the fact that I wrote a book really does resonate with people, number one. Number two, there's something to be said with what it does for your credibility and being able to, I always like to joke and say, when you write a book, people automatically believe you and take you seriously to a certain extent. So the credibility factor, number one. Number two, I believe part of building a brand and being a person of influence within the digital space of podcasting, it's my responsibility to share with the world what I know. Otherwise, I'm just a taker. So I felt, and I've been thinking about writing this book for 2 years now, and it shoulda, coulda, woulda. I was going to do a glorified pamphlet of it, and then I, you know, got a test copy of that and was like, I can't hand these pamphlets out to people. I've really got to do this. So I teamed up with my friends over at selfpublishingschool.com, and they sponsor my podcast. I emcee their live events, and very much like the Podcast Launch Lab program, where we run people through a program to get them to the finish line to start a podcast, they have a 90-day program to go from blank page to published author in 90 days or less. So I saw the synergies there with the crossover between, wow, their audience is my audience and vice versa. Secondly, they do live events that I would love to emcee. Third of all, if I don't join a program like this, I'm just never going to get the book done. So I joined their program in May. I believe I started writing May 15th, got done in the book drop December 6th. So didn't get it done in under 90 days, but I still got it done. And my goal was to make it a real book. In my opinion, a real book has between 35 and 40,000 words. So it was extremely difficult for me to do. It took way longer than I thought, because you get in your own way, your own head, more times than not. But I'm really proud of it, and I'm in the process of recording the audiobook right now. And I just think that, you know, I want to be able to see people get to the finish line with starting a podcast, whether they hire me, whether they read my book, whether they see a post. I just want it to be another notch in my belt of encouragement to people to be able to share with them that it is in fact possible to start a podcast if you read the book, but not just read the book, actually do what it says.
I love it. And what you said about the business card analogy is some of the best advice I ever got from my mentor. Is he always said, salespeople have business cards and experts have books. So you're spot on with that, obviously. For those of you that don't know podcasting, or you thought about podcasting, when I met Sebastian, it was in toward the beginning of quarantine when I had the idea. Finally, I wanted to go ahead and put myself out there and launch this this show, Rockstars Rockin'. And I hopped on a 15-minute free consultation call with Sebastian. I was a little bit already ahead of the game, not way ahead, I assure you, but I was a little ahead of the game. But there was some specific things that I needed help with that Sebastian was able to help immediately. And I just knew and saw and could feel the expertise coming through on the Zoom call we had. I still remember it. I wasn't standing up. I was sitting over here in my own studio at my desk, and he hopped on the screen, and I was convinced that I had to bring him aboard to the team to help me get this thing moving in the right direction and to launch it. So what he's doing works, folks. So I think, like a lot of you, like me, you probably have it on your mind. Everybody's doing it. I want one. It's the cool thing. You're right. But what I really appreciate about what Sebastian says, and he told me right away, is don't do it. He didn't say it this way, but basically I interpreted it as don't do it just to be the cool kid. Basically, he was saying, if you're gonna do it, do it. And I did research. There's so many hundreds of thousands of podcasts that are started every year that fail because the host stops after a few episodes. You know, I'm proud that I'm continuing to keep this thing going, and I want to keep it going for years to come. It's not a sprint. It's a total marathon. Would you agree that's the vision you have to have when it comes to launching a podcast?
100%. It's definitely a long play. It's not a short play. Well, let's start a podcast. And a lot of people are starting podcasts because they think it's the keys to the castle of unlocking a new revenue stream right out of the gates. And it's not. It's not about you. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the listener and what you can do to provide value to that listener and build a community based on what you're actually providing. And then as a default, by default, you're able to capitalize on things like monetizing the podcast and things of that nature.
Yeah, I made a commitment to myself. I think I told you this when I met you, is I don't even, you know, I'm a big scorekeeper in business and sales and life, but I don't even keep score when it comes to my numbers. I read something, I don't know if you'd agree, and it was basically your first 30 to 50 episodes, your first year, just keep pumping out the content and don't pay attention to the metrics. Otherwise, it might screw your brain up. And ultimately, that's what pushes people to say, I quit, this is stupid. So I literally, to this day, we're almost 30 episodes in by the time yours is released. And I have not looked at a single metric with respect to downloads and listens and all that. I just keep pumping it out. I'm personally having fun and enjoying it. And I don't know if that's good or bad. What would you say to, you know, I'm your client. What would you say? Is that good advice I'm giving myself, or am I messing up?
Yeah, your consistency is definitely something to be modeled, because you just dove right in and said, I'm just going to keep on hammering away at episodes and keep swinging, and eventually something happens. I don't know what that something is, but I know it is something. It's kind of like the numbers game, where you get in there and you just put in the work and let the opportunities present themselves. So yeah,
right.
great work.
There you go. Well, good. Coach Sebastian giving praise to student Silverman. I'll take it. So let me ask you a question before we go. Dude, talk about your bow tie. You don't wear it often, but when you're up speaking and emceeing and hosting, dude, if you guys check out his YouTube page, he'll tell you what it is in a minute, but he's rocking total bow tie typically. And I gotta say, you know, I don't know if this is gonna sound weird or not, but it looks good on you, man.
I appreciate that. So the bow tie started in the very, very beginning. I was going to launch a product called Social Buzz University. And that was my first epic fail out of the gates, where I wanted to have this online university and I was going to be the professor and I was going to teach you everything you need to know about social media, and you were going to sign up and you're going to pay monthly to be part of the university. And it didn't end up coming to fruition, but part of that process was me shooting videos for the program. And I thought, well, if I'm the professor, like, I've never been to college, but I think professors wear bow ties. So let me get a bow tie. And I bought a bow tie at like Marshall's, came home, had no idea how to tie it. It was one of those ones that like frays.
Wait, it was a real one?
Yeah, it was a real one.
It wasn't the pre-made?
Now, you can't fake the funk on a nasty dunk, dude. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. So I went to Marshall's. I got this bow tie that ended up being this shriveled mess. And I couldn't figure out how to tie it. But eventually I was like, I just need to freaking record these videos. So I at least made it into what I thought it should be. And I started shooting videos. But then I kind of got in my own head and was like, man, I need to figure this out. How hard could it really be? So I went to YouTube and I studied YouTube videos for a couple hours, and I finally was able to nail it. I can now tie the thing without looking or a mirror. But when I first started, there's definitely an art to it. So the first time that I actually put the bow tie on, and then I was able to actually tie it from spending some time on YouTube, I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, you know what? I can go out in public like this, and I think people will take me serious. And so I started putting it on. And I started off wearing, you know, big Poindexter glasses before the bow tie. So I would run, and I would go out and have these big, they were American Idol. I bought them at Big Lots, I think. And I would wear them around town before everyone and their brother started wearing glasses that they don't need. But then they would give me headaches. So I was like, okay, out with the glasses, in with the bow tie. So I start rocking bow ties, and I started bow tie everywhere I would go. While living in Miami, when it's 900 degrees out and the humidity is 100%, and I got the bow tie on, it's the least comfortable and least pleasurable experience one could have. But you've got to stand out. I read that quote one time from Steve Martin that said, you know, be so good they can't forget you. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. And I always told myself, if you make enough noise, someone will come knock on your door, including the police after 10 p.m. So I continued to stick to that whole idea of it. And then one morning I was down on Miami Beach, which I like to do often. I like to go down to the beach. I'm only about 15 minutes away, and catch the sunrise and get my thoughts together. And I was down there one morning and I posted a picture of the entrance of the beach, where you're like walking onto the beach, where it's got a little walkway and it's got the little ropes, and you got the sea, you know, like the plants and whatnot. It's a perfect little shot, and you see like the lifeguard stand in the background. And I took the shot as the sun was coming up, and I posted it on Instagram right when Instagram first started. And I had a buddy that worked at Perry Ellis at the time and was the head of marketing. And he commented on the post and said, looks like another Perry Ellis ad. And I said, sorry to hear that? And he goes, Well, not really. That's all going to be changing with our new spring collection. And I'm like, there better be bow ties included. Ha, ha, ha. Well, lo and behold, 3 weeks later, knock on my door is a FedEx guy. Opened the box. It's a box of four bow ties from Perry Ellis's brand new spring collection with a handwritten note saying, we hope you enjoy rocking these bow ties as much as we enjoyed sending them to you. And I sat there as I looked over in my living room. I've got a living room full of vitamin water. I got four $80 bow ties just sent to me for free. And I've got Ford dropping off their new model to drive around for a week. And I thought to myself, wait a second, I've got something here. Now, this is way before the whole influencer world. This was my days of being a walking billboard. I'll drink vitamin water while wearing a Perry Ellis bow tie and driving a new Ford model. And that actually worked. It really did. And then everything got saturated with influencers. And that whole world now is, nobody even knows what an influencer does or if they actually do anything at all. But those were the early days. So now the bow tie only gets rocked when I'm on stage or I've got a speaking gig or an MC opportunity. In fact, all my MC clients make me include it in my agreement to make sure you're going to have the bow tie on, right? So I don't want to disappoint. People do like it. It's an interesting conversation piece. It's an interesting way for me to interact with the audience. You got 5,000 people in front of you looking at you like you get 10 heads and boogers. You got to make fun of yourself a little bit to get people out of their comfort zone and laughing a little bit. But yeah, the bow tie, not comfortable, but it is a staple. I own about 37 of them. I've got them in every color, got a giant collection of them. But I wear gym clothes every day unless I'm on stage.
So mostly Marshall's bow ties, but you got four Perry Ellis.
And no, I bought the first one at Marshall's and then it would frayed and I still have that one because it's real special to me, but I found, yeah, it is. It's got some sentimental value, but I found that my bow tie spot actually was Nordstrom's rack. Because I could go in on a very limited budget, which was always a plus, and I could get myself a good bow tie, a good quality bow tie, and a pocket square to match for around $20 to $25 out the door.
Clutch.
And, so I just continue to rinse and repeat that process. Then people start sending gifts, and I've got people send me bow ties, and I've got, you know, family buys them for Christmas. My mom bought me an emoji one last year. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to leave the house in that one, Mom, but thanks. But yeah, man, that's the bow tie story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. And don't forget the jacket with the elbow patches, right? Got to put that on.
Very important, especially if you take pictures like this.
Exactly. Make you look smarter than you actually are.
Ain't that the truth?
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on, Sebastian. Dude, I learned a lot about you. I mean, I knew the podcast stuff. I followed you on social since we met. And by the way we met, LinkedIn, of course, how else would we meet? That's how professionals meet in this modern day, in my opinion, is LinkedIn. So for those of you that are just now learning about the man, the myth, the legend, Sebastian Rusk, founder of the Podcast Launch Lab and bowtie wearer extraordinaire, Sebastian, how can people find you, man, if they want to take you up on that 15-minute counsel for free, the same way I did, how we met?
You just go to podcastlaunchlabnow.com. And just like I taught you, that link will be in the show notes for those of you listening. Don't try to write that down if you're driving. And connect with me on all the socials, Instagram at Podcast Launch Guy, LinkedIn under my name, Facebook under my name, and YouTube, youtube.com/podcastlaunchlab. I spend a lot of time there. And if you're thinking about starting a podcast and you're like, I'm going to do it yourself or I want to do it on my own, well, then my YouTube channel is a great place to get that done. If you're looking to hire somebody that can get you to the finish line, I'm your guy. So I look forward to connecting with all of you. And Eric, thanks for your time, dude. Thanks for having me on. So proud of what you've been building here and sticking it out. Your podcast did not go to the podcast graveyard. You did not hashtag pod fade. So proud of you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And when it comes to the book, can they buy it on Amazon, your website? What about that?
Yeah, you can go to podcastsuck.com, podcast plural, podcastsuck.com. It'll bring you right to Amazon. You can pick up the Kindle copy for free if you have Kindle Unlimited, or a dollar if you don't, or you can get the print copy as well.
Fantastic. All right. Well, listen, appreciate you coming on, brother. For all of the folks here at the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast, and it's not me because I just show up and hit record and let guys like Sebastian do all the work. I have a back office that handles it. So for all of them and myself here at Rockstars Rockin', I'm Eric Silverman. That, my friends, is Sebastian Rusk. And wherever you're consuming podcasts, please don't forget to leave a nice short little written review. Would not suck. And 5 stars would totally rock. I got that from Sebastian. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great day.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rock Stars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.